When I was in church, in my mother church, I used to sing alone, I mean, solo. And not anymore. I don't know why. And when I hear songs, when somebody, you know, stands up and wants to sing, man, that's for me a brave person. I don't know. I think I can do better on preaching than singing. Thank you for the song. Very good, very good. Now my daughter is practicing not for today, she's not here, only my son, but my daughter, she's practicing a song to sing it here in church one day. She's here, well, in Phoenix. I had to take her to her cousin. She wants to go to the church with her there, so. And then I brought my son here with me. He'd think he's Samson. I'm going to preach about Samson today. Right? Okay. 2 more weeks. And my wife will be back. Praise the Lord for that. And finally we will be together, all together, back again. Okay, the title of the sermon this morning is, excuse me, Samson the Weak. This sermon lasts an hour. Okay? I will try to make it short. Trying to speak, you know, just the essence, the message. But if I take longer than that, you're free to go home, okay? If you want to stay here to listen to the end of the message, just stay with me. But you're free to go. Not now. Okay. I'm going to be reviewing the life of Samson, the whole life. From the beginning to the end of Samson. I'm going to start saying something about these people, enemy of the people of God. Excuse me, I don't know what happened to my throat, but I think I'm kind of I say later after 1 hour. Just went out 4 people at a time. I said, what? They're leaving early. Okay. I'm going to say something about the Philistines. Who were the Philistines? Am I saying that right? Philistines? The people of the land. God told his people, go to this land, and this land will be yours. But there were a lot of other people there. And, you know, they just take him away, you know, say, you know, get out of this land, this is ours. But there were one people that never left the land. Never left the land. In the time of Jesus, the Philistines were there. Today, the Philistines are there. Okay. Oh, that's why. Thank you. I thought you took my word for granted and wanted to leave earlier. Thank you. Nice and cold. Thank you. The Hebrew people called this Philistine Pelistim. Okay? And the land where they lived was called Pelishet. Pelistim lived in Pelishet. That's the word for Palestine. Okay? Same word. They took this word Palestine from this root. So when you hear Palestine, means Philistines. Philistines. I was singing a song with a group of people there when in Jerusalem. I remember one time we went there. Excuse me. And our guide, tour guide, it was Christian now, but he was a Jew. And he said, why don't you sing something about Jesus in this land? And in Spanish, we have this song, Tierra Bendita y Divina. That means land blessed and divine. And the following word is, it's of the Palestine. And when we sing that, he say, what? No, stop there. Don't mention that word here. Palestine? He said, Jesus was not Palestine. He was Jew. Palestine means Philistine. So, with that in mind, the Philistine were there in the time of Samson, were there in the time of Jesus, and they are there now in the same place. Have you heard about Gaza? See? Okay. Gaza, at that time, the time of Samson, was the capital for the Philistines. Okay? And today, a lot of Philistines are there. Palestines. There's a city. I went to this city in the midst of this land, the Israel. It calls Beth Shan. Have you been there to the Jerusalem or that land? Okay. Have you been to Beth Shan, this Philistine city? It was a big city, almost intact. You can walk through the streets, and there's a stadium over there, and a lot of columns, and almost intact. That city was very beauty. And I asked, you know, wow, is this a Roman city? No. This was a Philistine city during the time of Jesus, during the time of the Romans. What I'm saying is that this city, or the Philistine, never left the land of the people of God. Okay. Well, who was Samson now? Samson was the son of a woman that the Bible doesn't mention her name. He was the son of a man named Manoah. Am I saying that right too? Manoah. And he was a son of this old lady. But she was what? She couldn't bear children. How do you call that? Barren. Have you noticed in the Bible that there are a lot of prominent men that were born from barren women? For example, Isaac, the son of Sarah, Jacob and Esau, the sons of Rebekah, Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Rachel, barren women, Samuel, the son of Anna, John the Baptist, the son of Elizabeth. All of them barren women. Interesting. And now another one. This is the son of a woman that the Bible doesn't mention her name. The Bible only mentioned the name of his father, Manoah. And that's it. But you know what? She talked to the angel of God. And he told her, you will have a child, and you will not cut his hair. I was asking Dennis how to say votos. And he said vows. Am I saying that right, Dr. Baroy? Where is it? Vows, votos, vows. Okay. He speaks more than three languages at least. So he speaks Spanish better than I do. So, oh yes, talk to him in Spanish. He will. He looks like Mexican because he is, right? From Guadalajara, Mexico. Vows. The angel told this lady, he will be a Nazarite. I was asking also about the difference between Nazarite and Nazarene. Well, Nazarite is a religious thing. Nazarene are the people from Nazareth. Jesus was from Nazareth. Actually, he grew up in Nazareth. He was called Nazarene, right? But Samson was a Nazarite. It was a religious vow. The angel told this lady three things. First thing, he will not partake in from the product or anything from the grapes. You can read that, Numbers 6, 3 and 4. Number two, second thing, never shave his head. That's in number 6, 5. And number three, he will never approach a dead body, neither touch it, because he will be contaminated. And that's in Numbers 6:6. Three things. Okay. And the angel told this lady, because he will start delivering or saving my people from the Philistines. All right. Verse 24. I'm sorry. Judges 13, 14, 15, and so on. Thank you. We'll see if this helps. He's not leaving us. He's just trying to fix my problem. Give me a second. Too much salsa this morning, I think. All right. The Nazarene, or the Nazarite, was a vow, a voluntary, how do you say, voluntary? Vow. But this one was an order from God. God told this lady, he will be a Nazarite. He didn't choose to be a Nazarite. He was chosen by God. Okay. And he grew up, and God blessed him with strength. But chapter 14, you will start seeing the story of Samson going from here to here. Chapter 14 says, verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistine. You know who was? Who she was? No, not Delilah. Not Delilah. The Bible doesn't mention her name. And this one was something special for him. The Bible says that he went to his father and said, "Father, there's a girl over there in that country with the Philistines, and I want her for a wife." The father said, "You know, there are a lot of girls here in this town, in this country. Why don't you take one of ours?" "No, that one. It's beautiful. That girl," verse 3, the last part says, "And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleased me well." In Spanish, I have this translation because it's more closer to the original. It says, "Get her for me, because this one pleases my eyes." Okay? I like her. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been attracted to something or someone because she or he is beauty, and you don't know what to do? She likes me, he likes me, and I like her. I like him. Well, this is the first problem with Samson. I don't care. That girl likes me. And I like her. And that pleases my eyes. I think that's okay with me. Your eyes. One of your five senses. Your eyes. And then the father said, "Okay." They went to see the family. And they went to this place to the Philistines to see if this girl was available. And she was. Samson was a Nazarite. Nazarite means set apart, sacred. He was set apart by God. And you know what? He grew up, he was strong, and then he wants to do whatever he wants. He wants to be like the rest of the people, all right? But God said, he will be delivered. He will set free my people. The Philistines were the enemies of the people of God, and always giving problems to the people of God. They plant a lot of grain, a lot of food, a lot of wheat and barley, and the Philistines just, you know, burn their places. They just took all those grain and left the people of God without nothing. And they were tired. So God raised up this man. He set it apart. He set him apart and said, "You're the man. You're the man. You are the man of God. I will give you strength. You will be strong, stronger than anybody else." He was stronger than anybody else in the world because of God. Now, listen to this. He went to this land to ask for this lady in matrimony to the land of the Philistines. Actually, that land was in the middle of Israel. He went to this place. And the Bible says that when he was going to that direction, he was going on the road, and then he took a shortcut. He found a lion, the Bible says. And he killed that lion like if it was a lamb. That's what the Bible says. He killed him and tore it apart and just, he left it there, went back to the road to this land. Verse 9, let me read it for you. I'm saying all these things to put you, to put everything together so you can understand the weakness of Samson and your weakness and my weakness. Verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleases Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he returned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hand and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Before that, he killed the lion, and then, in his way back, the lion was there, dead. How many days? I don't know. But now, there was a swarm, am I saying that right? Swarm with honey and bees. And he took the honey and some pieces of that swarm. He ate from them, you know, from that part. And he took something to his father and mother. If you were Samson, or you don't have to be Samson, to reject something that is in a dead body and eat from it. I remember I drank water from a small lake. Not a lake, but you know, small, very, very small, like maybe 100 yards by 50, very small. I didn't know it was a dead cow in that little lake. But I was thirsty, dying, so I had to. I got sick later, and for a year because of that. But I didn't know. But Samson knew about it. He killed that lion, and now it was rotten. But something good in it. Honey. Can you see something here? Something good, very good, tasty, inside of something wrong. Very, very wrong. He was a Nazarite. And one of his vows was what? Not touching a dead body. He did. Chapter 14 and 10 says, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a what? Feast for seduce the young man to do. The original says that he made occasion to drink. That's what the Bible said, the original. He made the occasion to drink. And one of the vow was what? Not to drink anything from the grapes. Anything. Not even grape juice. Nothing. Not fermented. Not even good wine. Good grape juice. Not even Welch's juice. None. But he did. And then, in order to keep up with these things, he didn't say, you know, listen for what he did. He took honey out of this dead body, but he didn't tell anything to his parents, right? He lied to him. Good honey! And they were happy to taste that honey, to eat that honey, but he didn't mention anything. He lied. You know what? Sometimes when we lie, We have to come up with another lie to cover the first one. And a third lie to cover the first one, the second one. And the fourth one to cover first one, second, and third. And so on. If you lie, the only way to stop that sequence is to stop lying. Not to cover that with another lie. There's a story of a butcher. Butcher, you know, the chicken and meat. There was a lady that wanted to buy a chicken. This chicken had to be big, she said. So she went to this man and he said, "You know, I want a big chicken." "Oh yes, I have what you want. Here is the chicken." And she saw the chicken and said, "Oh well, that's too small for me. Do you have another one? A bigger one?" And it was the last chicken. And he said, he wanted to sell that chicken. Then he said, "Yes, I do. Let me put this back." And then he took the other one out. It was the same chicken. But he said, "This one is bigger." And she said, "No, it's not that big. Well, I take them both." You know, lying is no good. Because you have to say another lie in order to cover the previous one. There was not another chicken. The only one was there. Samson lied. But you know what? Chapter 15, the Bible registers that Samson prayed to God. Wonderful. You know, the Bible registered three times when Samson prayed. First time, he was thirsty. This is the first time. "Lord, I'm thirsty. I want water." He was in need, and God gave him water. Second one, he was in trouble with the Philistine. "Lord, help me out." And he helped him. And the last time was when he died. He was in trouble again. He prayed only when he was in need. How about you? Do you pray whether you are in need or not? I'm not talking about prayer before the meals. Giving thanks to the Lord for the meals. No, what I'm saying is your personal prayer. He only prayed this time because he was in need. "I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm the man. I'm thirsty. I want water." By this time, he broke two of the vows and a lot of the commandments. But God didn't leave him at this time. The man of God The elected, or the selected, how do you say that? The selected? Chosen. The chosen one. He took this woman for a wife. But you know what happened? I'm not going to tell that story. But his father-in-law took her back. And he gave it to another man. You can read the story there. Interesting. That's why Samson grabbed that piece of the jaw of a donkey. And he killed thousands. That's why. Read the story. It's there. First wife of Samson. And then he decided to go to this place, Gaza, again, the chosen one. And you know why he went there? He went there because he wanted to be with a prostitute. The best prostitute in that place was in Gaza, the Philistine. And he went to be with that woman. And he spent the night there, the chosen one. The Philistine said, "We're going to kill him. He's there in that house with that woman. Yes, we got him here." Early in the morning, he said, "I need to go get out of here and I need to go back to my place." He decided to go back. But you know what? The doors, the gate were closed. He was locked up, locked in. He decided to do something interesting. The Bible, this is in chapter 16 now. The Bible says that he took the gates and he pulled it from its roots. He put that gate on his arms and he went back home. You know what? 40 miles. With those gates, he was strong. Let me tell you something. He was strong because of God. And he did all these wrong things. But the Lord was with him. Until now. He was strong. He was there. And he could do a lot of things, even though he was going downhill spiritually. The God, his God, was with him. Samson, he put his eyes in another girl named Delilah, the second one. The Bible doesn't say she was a Philistine. Read it. It doesn't say anything anywhere. Delilah, she had a visit of the man of the principal of the Philistine. You know, Samson likes you. And we're going to offer something for you. We're going to offer you 1,100 shekels, coins, silver coins. Every one of them, total, a lot of money. How many silver coins were given for Joseph? Remember? 20. Joseph was a slave in the land of Egypt for 20. Okay? Now, with this money, with all the people all together giving this money to Delilah, she was able to buy 275 slaves. A lot of money. Power.